Tim Weaver is Director of External Affairs at the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board and the TSP Board, just getting the results of their biannual participant survey. Kim, what were the kinds of things that you asked people who participate in the Thrift Savings Plan, and what were some of the results that you got?
We wanted to know if they were happy with the TSP overall, and then if they were happy with specific services, and what else they'd like us to be doing if we're not otherwise doing it. So the good news is generally people like us, and we're very pleased with that. We had an 87% approval for generally happy people.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
87%,
nice.
You can't beat that. And then we dug a little deeper, and a couple years ago, we started putting on our annual statements that we send out to all of our participants. So every January or early February, we send out a statement to all 4.6 million participants, and it's here's what's your account. And what we added was, if you were 62, with the amount of money that's in your account right now, this would translate into this monthly payment. And it was to try and help people, because if you've got $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 in your TSP account, you think, wow, that's great. And then when you translate that into what that breaks out to as a monthly payment, it may or may not line up with what you're thinking you're going to get. And what we were really pleased about on this survey is that we found that people, A, really liked getting the information, and B, people were taking action. They were increasing the amount of their contributions, or they were rearranging their investments to try and address that amount. And so that's what we wanted it there for. We wanted people to understand it and then, you know, judge, is this where I want to be, or do I need to be, you know, thinking about my future a little bit more? So that was really, really quite good to hear.
To have approval in the 80s, Kim, is really amazing, because a pollster friend of mine told me once that he could find 20% of the people that hated anything. And so for you to be that high is really incredible. I mean, this guy was talking like Mother Teresa and stuff like that. He could find 20% of the people that didn't like her.
Well, and that is true. We have had overall satisfaction rates that were in the 80s going back as far as 2006, which is like when I think we first started doing the participant satisfaction. So as I said, we're really gratified by that, but we don't take it lightly. We work for that, and we're looking for ways to continue to improve. And one of the things that people were telling us is they're looking for maybe some more help in the future on how to withdraw their money. What's, you know, a little bit more advice or more in-depth education. And we're considering that, how we could do that. How would we best communicate that? We have people, as you know, all literally around the globe, sometimes up on the space station, and trying to communicate information to people in a way that they can use it and access it is really something that we're focusing on and trying to figure out how we can improve that.
Was there anything here that you saw as the results came back and you said, wow, that's not what we expected?
Not really. What we do see is, I think what everyone sees, that there are older participants are more comfortable with paper-based information, phone-based information, and our younger participants would like more online, more not even emails, because that's, you know, a dying technology at this point, but instant messaging, that kind of thing. And so we weren't surprised by it, but the survey reinforced that what is true for everybody else is true for us as well.
You also looked at the concept of mutual funds and talked about that at this monthly meeting. What does this all mean? There have been any number of efforts at various times to try to get some kind of way that people can buy mutual funds through the TSP. Is this something that seems to be making any progress, Kim?
Well, in the 2009 TSP Enhancement Act, Congress gave us a variety of things that we were able to do. The Roth TSP, for example, was one of the things that was in that that legislation. And the last thing that we have not yet exercised was the authority to offer a mutual fund window to TSP participants. And what that means is that the five core funds that we have would remain intact, but that a participant could take a portion of their TSP money and go, as they call it, through the window and invest in mutual funds offered by a third-party provider. They wouldn't be operated by us, and the TSP participant, by law, would have to pay for the use of that window. So the rest of the TSP participants who weren't using it wouldn't have to bear that cost. It's not, it is definitely not one of those decisions that you say, oh, absolutely one way or the other. Absolutely yes, absolutely no. You have the cons are that it does add complexity, and I was just talking about trying to communicate to people. And so, you know, if we struggle communicating five basic plans to people, the mutual fund window just makes that much more challenging. It, by definition, we're the lowest cost provider that we're aware of, and so going through the window, you're going to a higher cost plan, and it may paralyze people with the number of choices, you know. So all of those are the reasons you wouldn't do it. The reason you would do it is we know there are people who want additional choice. We know there are people who are sophisticated investors and would make reasonable good choices going through the window. And in a weird way, it would actually protect our core. You referenced people have tried to add other funds in the past, you know, gold funds, commodity funds, REITs. If we had a mutual fund window, that legislation wouldn't be necessary because people could access almost anything in the world that they would want, but they'd be doing it through the window instead of as part of the five funds. So what we did this past Monday was we had our board meeting, and we did it in conjunction with the Employees Thrift Advisory Council, which is made up of 15 federal employee and postal unions, the federal managers, the Senior Executives Association, and they're our contact with our participants. They represent virtually all of our participants. And so we presented the status of our research to them. Here's the pros, here's the cons, here's what we've looked at. And we said, we're going to go back and continue to do some work on this, but we solicited from them, if you've got any specific concerns you want us to research, if you have any concepts that you want us to run down or explore, let us know. And our theory is that in the fall, we'll come back to talk to ETAC and to talk to our board, and maybe at that point have enough information that we feel comfortable making a recommendation as to whether to proceed or not.
Kim Weavers, Director of External Affairs, the Federal Retirement Thrift Investment Board. This meeting also included the Employee Thrift Advisory Council, a pretty interesting organization of people who come in and offer advice and information. Do you tell me about those, about that council for people who aren't familiar with it? And what's their role generally, and what was their role this month specifically?
Well, they are, by law, the Employee Thrift Advisory Council is made up of the list of people, the postal unions, the federal employee unions, senior executives, the federal managers, postmasters, NARF, for example. And over the years, as the TSP first started and has grown, those unions and those associations, by definition, are talking to their people directly. And they hear, you know, we would like this, we don't like this, whatever. And they can give that feedback to us. They have been a very valuable group over the history of the TSP. And as I said, this month, we provided them with the mutual fund window. We talked to them about the participant survey and asked for their feedback. And if they're hearing, most of them, of course, have conventions, those kinds of things. If they're hearing from their people, you know, this is a problem, or we would like to see this, or, you know, I can get this at Fidelity and Vanguard, why can't I get this through the TSP? We want that feedback because that helps us provide our participants with the services that they're looking for.
Greg Long, your boss, in line for a raise. Good news for him, but that the board wants to pursue it at least. But it's going to take an act of Congress, it sounds like.
It will. The current salary for our executive director is set at executive schedule level 3, which is $167,000, which certainly isn't chump change by any stretch of the imagination, but it is well below what private sector people get in the financial world. And our law requires that the executive director have substantial experience in training, expertise, and the management of financial investments and pension benefit plans. And so both as a retention for our current executive director, but also for recruitment for a future executive director, the board is exploring legislation that would amend the law and allow the board to pay the executive director up to 120% of the vice president's salary, which is roughly $279. And that's something that's done at the Postal Service, for example. The Postmaster General, the board has the authority over there to pay the Postmaster General up to 120% of the vice president's salary. So it will, as you said, take a law, an act of Congress, and that will be my job over the next couple months to do that on behalf of the board.